lace up my boots real tight. I've got my flaws to fight.
I'll be your superhero. I'll save you anytime. I'll be your vigilante, defeating the bad guys. I'll be your superhero.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Uncanny Fans. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Daddy D, and happy Friday the 13th.
Greatest day in history. If only it was October. October, Friday the 13th is even better.
Scientifically, it's very unlikely for Halloween to be on a Friday the 13th and still have.
I didn't say Halloween. I said October. Halloween cannot be on Friday the 13th.
You didn't even give me a chance to finish. Damn. Just imagine.
The 31st.
Just imagine if you got the 13th and the 31st on a Friday in the same month.
Is that possible?
There's a scientific chance it could be possible. But mathematically, I doubt we're going to see why we're still breathing.
But how would that be possible?
It's science. Anything is possible. I think.
Hold on. Let's do the math on this. There's 18 days in between those two. 7 days in a week. It's not possible. They both can't be on Friday.
Unless we make it 32 days in, out of nowhere.
You add an extra day in.
Look, we can take one off August. No one really cares about that month.
So there's October 13th and a half. It's a whole day by itself.
Yep.
And then it evens out.
That's exactly how we're going to do it.
It's just like, that doesn't make sense.
Alright, to start off with, recap of movies from last year. What was hot? What was not?
Have you seen The Menu?
I fucking love The Menu.
The Menu was genius. I think it's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
I'm not going to lie. I went in with super low expectations. Like, I don't know what to expect from this. Then I watched it. I'm like, oh, shit. It's already over? Holy shit. I need more.
I went in expecting to like it, but I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. It was great.
Like, hands down. That plot twist at the end, I did not see it coming, but it's just, damn. It was that easy the whole time?
Yeah, I think I'm going to watch it again tomorrow.
It is on HBO.
That's true.
The sleeper agent of the entire year.
Avatar 2.
Hell no. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Avatar I did like it, but it wasn't a sleeper. Hey, we all knew it was going to.
Surprisingly, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
I thought that came out this year. That came out in December?
It came out like...
Oh, Christmas.
That and Avatar released same weekend.
Have you seen Puss in Boots?
I saw that and Avatar, but I saw Puss in Boots a couple weeks ago. I'm like...
I've not seen it. I'll be honest, I have no real desire to...
Do you care... Okay, so... Do you care about spoilers for it? No.
It's from Shrek, right? Or no?
It's still in the Shrek universe.
Okay. I like Shrek, but I just... Puss in Boots, I have no desire.
Alright, so TLDR... Puss gets down to his last life. He's like, ain't shit gonna happen to me. Out of nowhere, this big ass wolf comes up like, hey, fancy a drink? Who are you? I'm just a really big fan. Here, sign this for me right here, right where it says death. He's like, oh, it's gonna be one of the fights. Oh, shit, where's my sword? Oh, yeah, I knocked it over there like 2 seconds ago before you can pull it out. Who are you? I'm death. And you've been laughing in my face. And now I'm after your ass. I ain't never seen that cat shook in his life just by a fucking whistle.
Is it an adult
whistle.
Comedy or?
I mean, yes.
Because it looks like it's for kids. But Shrek wasn't really for kids.
It has that thing, same thing where it's literally, it looks like it's for kids, but nah. That's just for adults.
Okay.
Because there's a whole.
I don't know if I'm going to watch it in theaters, but maybe I'll watch it when it comes to streaming or something.
No matter how you watch it, I highly recommend watching it. Just for that whistle alone, you like just hearing that whistle and seeing shivers run that man run down this person's spine. Ooh. You can see the fear on everything.
Puss in Boots. I'll have to check that out.
The Last Wish. I mean, compared to to the other one with Humpty Dumpty, this one's a clear step up.
The Shrek universe is so large. I've only seen the first two movies.
That's really all you need.
The first two?
Well, nah.
I haven't seen the third one or the fourth one. Or
the third one. Third one's kind of, you kind of need. The fourth one is just
there.
Well, remember that old Christmas movie where a dude wishes he was gone, then it's like he goes that entire thing where it's like, oh yeah,
it's a Wonderful Life.
That's literally Shrek 4. Okay. That's all Shrek 4 is. You don't even need to watch it.
Okay. So I have a double X and the prequel. Was it Pearl? Both came out last year. The fact that they got two movies from the same franchise in one year—they
were both last year.
They were both. X was the beginning of the year, and Pearl was the end.
Oh shit! I still gotta watch both of them. Then God. Oh god.
They both came out last year, and they are both. X was genius, and Pearl was somehow better. And they're making a third one.
Nope.
It's so good. Those movies are genius, dude.
No, we gotta talk about. We also gotta go to Nope.
Oh, Nope. Yes, Nope was great, too. I did like Nope. How do you feel about it? Like, on Jordan Peele's, it's nothing he does touches Get Out, I think.
Have you seen Us?
Us was great, but it wasn't as good as Get Out. You think it's better than Get Out?
Do you have any idea how much shit you have to get into just to psychologically unpack having to fight an alternate version of yourself that literally just wants to kill you?
I do love the twist in Us, though.
Still have yet to fully unpack that twist, and I'm like,
well, that they were switched.
Do you know how long it takes to unpack that shit alone? It's just, dog.
It's crickets.
Crickets, just, but still. Unpacking that alone, man. I was expecting any other switch except that one. It's like, oh yeah, I ruined your entire life, because it's like, oh no, I was supposed to be up there. We switched.
I honestly think Jordan Peele is the greatest modern horror director, like, of this new wave.
They're not even. That's the fuck. That's the, like, it's good, but it's bad. He's not really a horror. I refuse to call him a horror.
And yet,
psychologically, I'm not wrong. Yes.
I mean, who else? Who else is making movies that are consistently that good in the horror genre? Well, the guy who did X and Pearl.
Jordan Peele movies are not horror movies. They're psychological thrillers.
Okay. Okay.
Literally, in Get
Us. Us is kind of a horror movie.
No, that literally throws you deep inside the question of, like, am I?
Yeah, but a horror movie doesn't have to just be a slasher film. It could be psychological. I'll give you Get Out and Nope. Not really horror movies. Nope is a straight sci-fi. It's a sci-fi western, which is kind of cool.
God bless that movie.
What would you classify Get Out? Just straight psychological thriller? What would you classify Stepford Wives?
Never actually seen Stepford Wives.
It's Get Out.
Get Out, honestly, it's definitely psychological. But it's also just not.
You don't think there's some horror aspect?
It's still just a drama thriller.
What's the
It's more really drama than thriller.
What is that streaming service I pay for that I cannot think of the name of?
HBO
Shudder. Plus. On Shudder, they have a show called 100 Greatest Horror Movies of All Time, and they put Get Out on there. They classify it as a horror movie. And they're a horror streaming service.
I mean, this is going to sound very bad. I better not get fucking canceled for this. But from a white person's point of view, it could be a horror thing. But from a black person's point of view, it could be
all the people on the show were talking about from a black point of view how terrifying it was.
It gets even deeper, because if you were the boyfriend, that is straight thriller or straight no that was straight horror.
Yeah,
because just
imagine you're like, that oh, you put yourself fuck. In those shoes.
But if you're a TSA agent, then it's just straight thriller, doing all that shit to find your friend and taking care of the dog.
I think you're wrong on this. I think it's a horror movie. It's at least horror adjacent. It's not just a horror movie, but
I can definitely agree with that.
In that wheelhouse.
Adjacent. I can definitely agree with that.
Okay, so if we're going with it's horror adjacent,
name a horror director who's working currently who's better than Jordan Peele. Eli Roth is good, but I kind of enjoy Jordan Peele's movies better. They're definitely more consistently good.
Who made The Book of Eli again?
Book of Eli is not a horror movie, though. That's a science fiction movie. That's like a dystopian movie. It's not really horror. But let me see. I don't know who did it. Book of Eli. That is a good movie, though. I do really like The Book of Eli.
Because that's the... I mean, I don't know why that popped up the first thing, like, horror.
Well, because it's kind of dystopian. Albert Hughes and Alan Hughes. So I guess brothers.
I got it.
Okay, who?
Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi is the all-time GOAT, but he's not really doing horror anymore. I'm going to meet him. May, I already have tickets to get a picture with him and his brother at HorrorCon.
You forget. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness exists.
It's not really a horror movie. Okay, alright, you know what? If I'm... Okay, alright, I'll give you that. Alright, well, Sam Raimi's...
Honestly, don't forget, you also gotta realize, that's the first Marvel movie where a hero legitimately says, you know what? Fuck it. I'm choosing violence today.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go Sam Raimi, look behind you. Obviously, I'm partial to Sam Raimi, as I point to my Evil Dead Collector's Edition. Pretty dope, right?
It is. Also, don't forget they do have a game now.
Oh, I've been playing it. It's over there. It's that game's badass, man. It's better than the Friday the 13th game, which was so disappointing to me.
Friday the 13th just they had.
It's just online. Such a good thing. I don't like online multiplayer games. I know I'm a relic of the past, and I'm not a fan of those. Even to wait for other people to sign on and then.
But that's the whole point of just connecting with a whole bunch of people you may not be able to actually go see. It was. A lot of the games like that were designed to be played mid-pandemic because, like, the odds of you actually going to see someone in person were very slim to none.
Yeah, I like the Evil Dead game, you can play like that, or you could just, they have levels where you can just go around killing deadites. I like that. That's fun. I want to play as Jason, just killing campers.
You can on Friday the 13th.
Yes, but I'm not as good as these people who spend all day playing, so I die so fast.
You can kill Jason, but it's more just...
No, that's the game, though. You can either play as a camper, and you have to escape Jason, or you play as Jason, and you kill the campers. Those are the two ways to play.
You just gotta get better at murdering people in the game, just like in Dead by Daylight.
I've only played Dead by Daylight at Nick's house. I don't have that game. I gotta get it, though. That's fun.
It is. But going back to horror directors, I can't really think of any other ones off the top of my head, which is awkward.
I mean, John Carpenter keeps talking about making one more movie, and if he does, I mean, he's the all-time GOAT. But I don't know if he's going to make another movie.
All-time GOAT, though?
Who would you put above him? Above John Carpenter?
Wes Craven.
No, I love Wes Craven, but he's not above John Carpenter.
See, even when, like, the first thing comes, we look on Google, it's a horror thriller for Nope.
See, horror. First word is horror.
But it's also a thriller. Did you actually go back and watch Smile?
I did, yeah. I saw it in theaters. I was kind of underwhelmed with that.
Shit, there's a lot of horror thriller movies under this thing. I'm like, I have not even seen half of them.
So what other movie would you put for 2022 that was worth watching?
Beast.
Is that the one with
Idris Elba?
That was good.
And the Lion.
That was pretty good. I like that.
Also, we can't forget the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It was alright. It's not as good as the original, but it was good. It was better than a lot of the sequels. Glass Onion, did you watch that?
Did I?
In theaters, or did you wait till Netflix?
I couldn't find tickets in theaters because I was working that day. I'm like, no! But then I watched it on Netflix. I'm like, I regret not seeing it in theaters, but at the same time, I'm still happy watching it.
I had to, I saw that and The Fabelmans on the same day at two different theaters. I had to go like a 20-minute drive between the two theaters because it was the only day that they were both playing. So I had to go watch Glass Onion and then drive 20 minutes to another city to watch The Fabelmans.
What was The Fabelmans again?
The Fabelmans is probably one of my favorite movies of last year. It's basically Steven Spielberg's childhood.
I'm not going to lie, that does sound interesting to watch.
As a filmmaker, you have to watch it. Violent Night was genius. I saw that twice in theaters. They promised Die Hard meets Home Alone, and they delivered.
I'm not going to lie, that is definitely my top five of the year.
Definitely has to be, man. Devotion's pretty good. Pray for the Devil was pretty good. Amsterdam was great. No, that movie was slept on, but that was pretty good.
The one thing I regret not seeing is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, I was going to save that for last, because I think that's the best movie of last year.
I haven't seen it, so I can't even judge it.
That movie is... I mean, it's what I thought Multiverse of Madness was going to be.
But 101, I've seen, but I'm like, it did not live up to the hype.
What?
Honestly, Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
I expected so much more from that, just especially after watching the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
They did. They just did not do Elvis right. They had the blueprints, too.
Well, we're talking about... Since we're talking about Jordan Peele and Get Out, the new version of that story, you know, starting the Stepford Wives. That's how many books I read each year.
Okay, I'm gonna use this to write down my top five.
Okay,
coming in at my number five is definitely Violent Night.
Okay, so we're doing. You want to do a top five list?
Mm-hmm.
All right, give me one moment to figure out my top five. So many movies, and I see almost everything that comes out. Are we just doing in theater?
Honestly, yeah, fuck it.
Alright, just in theater.
I mean, Now, because I think there was one that came out just, like,
straight up. Well, Texas Chainsaw was streaming. Prey was streaming. Werewolf by Night was streaming.
That's not a movie, though.
What, Werewolf by Night?
That's a series.
No, that was one... It was a special presentation.
It's a limited series.
It was one episode.
Limited series.
So it's the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special series?
Limited series.
It's a special presentation.
Look, if it's shorter than an hour and 20 minutes, it's a limited series. But yeah, my number five is Violent Night. What you got for your number five?
Oh God, there's so many good movies. I wish you had told me you wanted to do this before.
Sometimes you gotta just run in guns blazing.
God, number five. There's so many. Fuck it, I'll do the Fabelmans.
Number four, what you got? Because I'm not gonna lie, I guarantee my number four might shake up things a little bit.
I might do Violent Night for number four.
That's your number four?
I love Violent Night. I thought that was great.
My number four, hands down, no debating. Because of my ancestry, I gotta go with Woman King.
Woman King was great. That movie was genius. Number three. God, I'm already wanting to change my lists.
Wait, what's your number four? So your number four is Violent Night.
Yeah. Number three.
Where does Black Adam rank on your list?
It doesn't make the top five.
What?
Can I do Pearl and X as one movie?
Technically, no. Because there's too much of a time gap between those two movies.
Alright, fine.
But my number three.
Then I'll do Clerks 3.
I want to debate that so badly, but I'm also like...
Nah. You don't think it deserves to be on there?
It's definitely in the top 10. But at the same time, the threes got to stick together. But yeah, my number three, Bullet Train.
I was actually thinking of putting Bullet Train as number two. Bullet Train was great.
Bullet Train was fucking amazing.
I already have it on Blu-ray. But I didn't put Terrifier on my list. Terrifier 2 was genius.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Thank God. I wanted to talk about that so fucking badly. Like, it was cringe as fuck. Just watch some of that shit happen, but it's just, oh my God, they did it so fucking well.
Terrifier was such a, I mean, I love the first one. The first Terrifier was great. But Terrifier 2, I think, is even better.
I watched them both same day because it's like, oh yeah, it's Halloween. I got it out.
You've never seen the first Terrifier?
No. I watched, me and my other friend Mondo, we watched both, or we were chilling at this house. We watched the first one, and then it's like, hey, second one.
So you didn't see it in theater? Oh man, it was such a great theater experience. The theater was packed because it was limited showings.
That's the main reason. I was like, damn, we couldn't find it anywhere. That, but then we saw it was like, oh yeah, we watched it. It's like, hey yo, this other theater, they got Terrifier 2. We're going. Don't cancel everything else. We are going.
Have you seen All Hallows Eve?
I don't think I did, but at the same time, I got. If I see a trailer, I might be able to tell you a little bit better.
All Hallows Eve is an anthology series, anthology movie. It came out years and years ago. It's about this kid who finds a VHS tape, and on the VHS tape, there's different murders, and that's Art the Clown's first appearance.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah. There's a sequel, All Hallows Eve 2, that doesn't have anything to do with Art the Clown. So Art the Clown started in... Art the Clown started as a short film, then it got in All Hallows Eve, then got Terrifier, and then got Terrifier 2. But they're already planning Terrifier 3.
Good. Good. Okay, so we're on number 2 now, right?
Yeah.
What you gonna go with? This is why we gotta think.
You know what, fuck it. I'm gonna put Bullet Train.
Bullet Train's your number 2?
Yeah. Ooh. But I didn't have space for the menu on this list. God damn it.
You had one shot, or you had one shot?
Yeah. Well, my number 1's already set in stone. Best movie of the year by far.
By far.
So what's your number 2?
Don't Get Mad.
Alright.
Death on the Nile.
Okay. That was good. I don't know if it's number 2, but that was good. That was a good movie. I forgot that came out this year.
Oh, shit, that was one of the movies I'm like, ooh, I need to go see this.
Did you like that better than the first one?
Honestly, yeah.
Murder on the Orient Express?
That one I'm like...
Have you ever seen the original Death on the Nile?
I really just love murder mystery things.
Have you read Agatha Christie's books?
The last one I actually read was And Then There Were None.
Oh. This doesn't make my top 5, but it was a great movie. Hold on, let me make sure I got the name right. There was a movie called... See How They Run. Have you seen that?
Honestly, I heard of it. I never actually went back and watched it.
It was so great. It doesn't make my top 5 list, but one of the characters in the movie is Agatha Christie.
Okay.
She's a character in the movie. And
that's your number 2?
No. Because you just said Death on the Nile. That's an Agatha Christie novel. So I'm just saying this other movie has her in it. But you gotta watch it. If you like murder mysteries, this is probably the best murder mystery I saw this year. I liked it better than Death on the Nile.
So now we get down to number 1 movie of 2022.
Alright, what's yours?
You the host, I'm thinking you should go first.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. You have to watch that, D.
I know.
It's such a brilliant movie. Fucking the dude who played Short Round and the dude from the Goonies is in it. And he just won a Golden Globe for it.
I get that. But at heart, I am a man of culture. So my number 1.
Do not say Black Adam. Because you say it should make the list. Please do not say Black Adam.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Black Adam was good, but that was more of a joke than anything else.
Okay.
My number 1, hands down. Sonic the Hedgehog number 2.
Okay.
the cinematography, the story.
You put that as your number one movie of the year?
Fuck yes, I do. Do you have any idea how many times that,
what
that
movie the has? Best comic book movie of the year? Just comic book movie. We'll finish it on Sonic and then tell me.
Look, the cinematography alone, just going through, just giving Eggman's, or even it gave us a glimpse of like the human version of Eggman. It was like, damn, I could have left you here, but I'm gonna take you with me. And then just seeing Knuckles be Knuckles.
I did love Knuckles. Knuckles has always been my favorite character. And the introduction of Shadow.
It sets up so much, and it, at this point, if they don't deliver, I'm going to be very upset.
Okay.
Because they're literally two for two, and it's very hard to
name. So let me see.
It is very hard to put that for a video game series.
I think I've seen every movie on your list.
So you've seen Violent Night, Woman King, Bullet Train, Death on the Nile.
We saw Sonic 2 together. Yeah, I mean, hell, some of our movies are on the same list. So what on my list have you not seen?
The only ones I honestly haven't seen, shit, it was more just because they were hard to find. It's hard to find. It's Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Fablemans.
Okay.
Wait, what was your second one?
Bullet Train. Which is your third, so.
But yeah, 2022 was a good year.
There were so many good movies. Like Quentin Tarantino said, like, this is the worst era of movies. And I understand what he's saying. But this year, I think.
Look. It's just because we got away from all the gritty edginess we had in like the early 2000s doesn't mean we lost good movies.
No, because look at our list. There's, first of all, you know I love comic movies. It's not a comic movie on there. Those are all movies that I honestly thought they were done making. Woman King, 2 years ago they would not have made that.
They couldn't have made that 2 years ago, honestly.
Like
they just didn't. There wasn't enough push for like black or more actual black stories.
Yeah, or Violent Night. Or Bullet Train, they wouldn't have made that a couple years ago. All they were making were remakes and sequels. Everything Everywhere All at Once, that movie is all these such things, a Hail Mary.
Aside from Clerks 3, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, everything on this list is straight originals.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, no,
I mean, Death on Nile technically counts as
well. That's a sequel. That's a sequel and a remake. That's both.
But aside from those
three. Those three, yeah.
Everything else is just straight original movies. And yeah. We love to see them things.
Yeah. Clerks 3 is just because, you know, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan. That was sentimental to me.
It gave us the closure we didn't even know we needed. It's like.
It gave me the closure I didn't know I wanted.
I'm like, I was just happy with how it ended. It's like, ooh, this is a good place to. Oh my God, Clerks 3? I gotta go.
So favorite streaming movie that came out on streaming. And you can count Werewolf by Night and the Guardians Holiday Special, because those are special presentations. They're not shows. Maybe they're not movies, but they're not shows. So you can count those. They don't make my list, but top, your favorite one. Best streaming movie of the year.
That's a really hard pick.
Mine's Prey. To me, it's...
Does it have to be a movie, or can we do limited series?
I guess you can do miniseries. That's fine.
Best Man Final Chapters.
Which one?
Best Man Final Chapters.
I haven't seen that.
It's on Peacock.
Okay. I've seen the trailer for it. I just haven't watched it.
Like, if we talk Enclosure, that alone is just, oh my God.
Is that like a sequel to movies or something?
Okay, so it goes Best Man Holiday, then goes Best Man Final Chapters, which shows them going, like, just life leading up. Then it actually shows what life is like for them during the fucking pandemic. And it's just... Oh, okay. Then it tackles Karens, family legacy, racism, and a whole bunch of other shit. I'm like,
did Squid Game come out this year, or was that last year? That was last year.
Wait. Yeah, that was last year, but at the same time, I want to say Alice in Borderland Season 2, but
I haven't seen that.
Ooh,
so your favorite show of the year would be Best Man?
Or, like, show that came out just that year?
Just this year. The favorite show that came out last year.
Okay, that's different, because Best Man Holiday was amazing. Or, no, Best Man Final Chapter was amazing. There was something else I was watching. I gotta relook at this. Give me a minute.
Okay.
Because, shit, there's so much stuff I watched last year. But just trying to go back and watch it all alone. I watched a lot of good shit last year.
Yeah.
Would you count Stranger Things?
I mean, if you want to.
Wait, no, season two was 2021. I think. No, it was 2022.
Tulsa King is not mine, but that was pretty good. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
With Sylvester Stallone?
That's the movie I kept trying to think about. Samaritan. Was that last year?
I don't know, but I haven't seen that. Is that good?
I saw a little bit of it. I'm like, okay, I get into this.
Did Strange New Worlds come out last year? That was great. I think that's my favorite new Star Trek.
I'm not sure. But fuck it. I really gotta go with Alice in Borderlands season 2. Like, my boy, the depth they go in there, it completely blows Squid Game out the water.
Really?
Dog, Squid Game is just, oh yeah.
Squid Game was great, man.
There's a difference between Korean games and Japanese games, and this really sells the difference.
Does it?
Do you care about spoilers?
For Alice in Borderlands? No, that's fine.
Alright, for those who are listening at home, this is your spoiler warning. If you do not want spoilers for season 2 of Alice in Borderland, this is the time to hit pause. We will let you know when we are done.
Keep going.
Alright, y'all paused? Alright, cool. Because we about to go in there. Look, the plot twist that makes season 2 is literally the driving point of the entire thing. It was like, where the fuck is everyone else? Oh yeah, that's the secret.
So, before you continue, this show is like Squid Game, it's like Battle Royale, it's...
Okay, so I probably should start from the jump.
I'm trying to understand what it is.
So basically, normal day in Tokyo, people chilling with their friends, comet goes through the sky, and like, oh, people start hiding. Then everyone else is gone, and it's like, wait, where is everybody? You see a whole bunch of strangers, one guy's just walking around, is like, damn, my visa's about to expire. Laser comes out of the sky. Goes straight through his head. Dead. Then you see a whole bunch, one of the trainers is like, oh yeah, follow me, we gotta play this game to survive. What game? Oh, we just gotta, it'll tell us what the game is. First game. It's a, what, you remember the puzzle wizard, just like, okay, you can only go into each thing once and you gotta get out?
Yeah.
That's the very first puzzle. But the catch on that one is, you got two options. Either you choose the angel or you choose the devil. And whatever, you have to make a choice or else the room you're in will explode. And catch fire, and it's just, oh yeah, they barely make it out of that. One guy gets injured. And now they understand, if you don't play these games, you will die.
So that's Squid Games.
You're not forced to play the games. But if you don't play the games, you will die. Every time you win a game, your visa, which is basically your lifelines, gets extended out for a couple days. To stay alive in the world, you gotta keep extending out your visa.
Okay.
So we get through all the stuff in season 1, we have some tragic deaths, we get some cool backstories, we get a giant bonfire, we get a witch hunt game but the witch hunt game, that's where season 1 ends. It's just, oh yeah. I'm the one who made this game. Oh, Lage comes out the sky, kills this person. Wait, hold up. Did you just say she made this game? And then then everything gets bigger. Then we get to the face cards. Alright, did I mention that you have to, throughout the entire game, every time you win, you get a card. If you complete the entire 40 card deck, that's half the battle done. Then you gotta go get the face cards. The face cards where season 2 officially starts. It's like, congrats on making this far. This one where everyone plays in. Season 2 starts. Guess which one they start fighting first?
Uh-huh.
Out of all the face cards, take a guess.
King?
Which one?
Of hearts?
Nope.
The spade?
Yup. Dude just starts mowing everyone down. He's like, alright, it's 1,000 v. 1. Fight me. He just straight up was like, how are we supposed to do that? Figure it out.
So is each suit a different power set, or?
So in all the games, it comes down to four suits.
One hearts, diamonds, spades, and
Club.
Club, yes.
Each game type is, or each one has a different type. Hearts is more is based off trust. Spade is based off physical ability. Club's based off teamwork. And Diamond's based off, I forgot what Diamond's based off of, honestly. I'll look it up later.
Yeah, because you said Spade is strength, but I would assume that'd be Diamond. So,
because King of Spades, he's like, all right, gun comes out guns blazing, just
Spade,
mows everyone
down.
Spade,
I would assume, would be aggressive. Diamond would be defensive.
I could look that up real quick for you, just that way I get the 100% accurate. But either way, these games, if you trust your team, cool. Do not do a hard game together. Like, I don't care what happens, just separate them, actually. Cause there's
what is this on? Where can I watch this?
It's on Netflix.
On Netflix? So maybe I'll give it a try. Best, most fucked up movie I saw last year. Didn't come out last year. It came out in 2020. It's on Netflix. It's called The Call. It's a Korean movie. You gotta check that out.
Oh, the Diamond game is Alice in Borderlands for intelligence. Spade is physical.
The Diamond's intelligence? The
Diamond's intelligence.
Okay. Okay.
But it's still just... So from the jump up when the King of Spades comes out, he just starts mowing everyone down. Bodies everywhere. Man has M16s, assault rifles and shit. Dog, people was like, you thought it was going to survive the entire show?
Is it in Japanese or...?
They dubbed it. I watch the
subtitles would be better.
Look.
The dub's always fucking up.
I don't know about this one. The dub, from what I've heard, the dub sounds watchable.
The only dub I watch is obviously Pokemon and Dragon Ball.
I didn't see the full, you didn't watch Full Metal Alchemist dubbed?
Well, I've never even seen that. I'm not an anime guy like you, D. I'm sorry.
Okay, we gonna get back to that later. We gonna get back on Alice in Borderland. King Spade just murks everyone, so they all spread out. So it's like, while they come up with a plan to get away from King Spade, it's like, he's going to kill us, what do we do? Well, they can't interfere with each other's game, so we're just going to challenge the King of Spades. Wait, no. King of Clubs. His game alone is freeze tag with a twist. There's a pole in the middle, you got to, or you just touch it, someone has to be guarding it, then everyone else is running around collecting points. Whoever has the highest amount of points when you get tagged wins. Then loser has to go back and keep retouching it. But they got items around the map to help out. But if you lose all your points, you're dead. But while you're touching the pole, you have an infinite amount of points. Does it make sense so far?
I guess. So whoever's touching the pole wins.
Yes, but no. Because if everyone gangs up on the pole, you can only touch one person. And that person's going to die because they're obviously you can't beat infinity.
Yeah. I'll have to check this out.
But wait, there's still more.
Well, I'm going to watch it now. You intrigued me.
Yes! That is the entire plot of this.
Alright, so favorite comic book movie of last year?
Oh yeah, for spoiler purposes. The spoilers for Borderlands 2 are now over. You can now resume your normal listening.
So, favorite comic book movie of last year? Did Spider-Man come out last year? Or was that 2021? That was last year, right?
No Way Home?
No Way Home.
That was 21.
21? Okay. So what came out? Doctor Strange?
We had Doctor Strange. We had Black Adam.
Black Panther.
And we had Black Panther. I liked it, but I honestly can't put that in top five because it's just...
Which one? Black Panther?
I can't put Black Panther there. It's too close to home to just put up on the pedestal so far. Plus, I feel bad if I do put it in top five because that's just like... It's just glorifying it because it actually conquered what we need to conquer in the community.
I was impressed. I was worried that without him it was gonna fall flat, you know. But it didn't. Like it did good. I love Namor. I was impressed with their Namor.
His like the soundtrack alone when he was just going through. They were going through their city. Is just oh god, that is so fucking beautiful.
Apparently, they can't give him his own movie. Universal still has the rights.
I mean, honestly, though, I don't think he needs his own movie because what is it? And even in comics, has he really done anything that heroic solo? The worthy of a movie?
Probably not. I've just always been a fan.
22 alone comic wise, we got Black Adam, we got the Batman, Thor Love and Thunder, Morbius, Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, Catwoman Hunting, and the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas Special.
So what's your favorite out of all those? And Wakanda Forever, which they didn't even put on this list that I'm looking at.
That's probably because it's not out on streaming services yet. But honestly, though, Batman, hands down.
Really?
Yes!
Doctor Strange.
Understandable. But in retort, the Long Halloween is one of the hardest things to nail because no one refuses.
That movie was too long, dude.
It's the Long Halloween for a reason.
Devon, listen to me. I saw the Batman in IMAX opening day, first showing.
Did you sit through Endgame? No problems.
Not a problem. No, I didn't have a problem.
Exactly.
But I watched the whole movie. I didn't have a problem. I just want to point out, I saw this movie opening day in IMAX. You know how expensive IMAX tickets are?
It's only like $15.
$15, $16, I think they're like $15 to $17.
Not that bad.
The scene where Batman kind of falls into the water towards the end, but there's still like a half hour left of the movie. Not one, not two, but five people in an IMAX theater got up and left. Just left. They just got up and left.
Look, if you can sit through
an IMAX theater, they paid like $15 to see this movie and said, fuck it, I'm done.
That's on them. But if you can sit through Endgame, you can sit through this. No problem.
Endgame was so much smoother. Endgame flowed a lot better. It was more emotional.
Okay, I probably...
This dude was so emo. He was the most emo Bruce Wayne we've ever gotten.
That's how the Long Halloween Bruce Wayne's supposed to be.
I haven't read the Long Halloween.
It's literally the first thing where he realizes... Damn, I really don't have all the answers, and there's shit that still eludes me. It's really the one that made him into the Batman.
You didn't hate the Riddler? He was such a bad Riddler.
In which aspect? Because some of them, he nailed it perfectly.
I don't know. The movie just seems so depressing.
That's because that one was that's supposed to be the depressing Batman story.
Oh, okay.
Because literally, in the Long Halloween, it's still like his first 6 weeks as Batman. He knows nothing.
To be fair, I'm biased. I've had a vendetta against this movie ever since they said that we weren't getting the Ben Affleck directed Batman movie. That's all I wanted. I wanted to see Ben Affleck direct the Batman movie where he plays Batman. And this to me just seems like a poor version of what could have been if we gave the reins to Ben Affleck.
But also, you still have to acknowledge, depending on how you think about it, this could be how he was before he became Ben Affleck Batman.
I guess. So Batman's your favorite, so you're looking forward to part two.
You damn right I am.
One of the few things that's surviving James Gunn's annihilation of...
Don't get me wrong, I love James Gunn movies, but all this Black Adam shit just got me like, is this really the right person for this?
James Gunn is canceled Black Adam 2.
Exactly, because I'm like, dog.
Black Adam 2 did not, The Rock overhyped that movie. Oh, this is the new era of DC movies. Black Adam was okay. It was okay.
Okay, so we may have different understandings of DC lore and the Justice Society and
you
stuff.
Definitely know more about DC than I do. But I'm talking about, like, as a movie, that's not the best comic book movie ever. Like, The Rock overhyped it. If the movie just came out without The Rock talking about it 24/7 for, like, 2-3 years, I would have liked it a lot more. He built the hype up too much.
You gotta realize, for some of us, this is the first thing we've gotten since Justice League, or Zack Snyder edition.
I hate the Snyder Cut.
I fucking love this. What? How did you hate the Snyder Cut?
It was so long and pretentious. The most emotional scene in the movie where Lois and Martha talk, they immediately undercut by Lois being Martian Manhunter.
You don't understand DC setup some days, and it shows.
Hey, no. That's not DC versus anything else. That's just storytelling 101. You don't take the most emotional scene of your movie and then immediately undercut it, ripping out all the emotion of that scene so it's irrelevant. It was a beautiful scene between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, but the loss of the loss they share. And then immediately afterwards, we find out the loss they share isn't even real. Martian Manhunter isn't Lois Lane. It's no longer a scene between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. So you put us on this emotional thing, and then you just said, haha, JK. It's insane. For that reason alone, that movie is garbage. That was the worst thing you could have done. You take that scene out, I would have liked it more. But that was stupid.
Do you have any idea how long we've been waiting to see Martian Manhunter?
Martian Manhunter was in other parts of the movie. You could have left every other Martian Manhunter scene. That scene right there should not have existed. He only had the
one scene, though.
No, because he meets Bruce Wayne at the end. You could have still had that.
That's the same scene!
No, it's not. No, it's not. One scene was in the middle of the movie. One scene was at the end.
Wait. I could have sworn they were both on the back end.
No. It was before Superman came back from the dead.
Damn, I really gotta go rewatch that just to verify that. Fuck. It's, so much shit has happened between then and now.
That scene alone ruins the whole movie.
Okay.
It was a stupid decision. And what also pisses me off is the notion of this is what we are going to get. No, it's not what we are going to get. It's a lie. Zack Snyder said the movie's done and Joss Whedon ruined everything. This was not going to be what we're going to... Warner Brothers was not going to put a four-hour movie in the theaters.
Honestly, even if they put this out, I still would have sat through it.
But they would not have. They would not have put a four-hour movie in the theaters. So this is not the version he was going to make. It's not. That's a lie. That whole notion is a lie.
It is what it is. I'm happy we got a, we got it though.
I just.
But you gotta admit, Black Suit Superman was the right move.
Oh, of course. But I also think that the blame is unfairly on Joss Whedon. I think you look at Joss Whedon's movie. Everything he did, to me, screams studio notes. If you look at what Zack Snyder wanted to do with the DC movie, with the Justice League movie, the movie emphasizes which three, there's six Justice League members, which three get the most emphasis in Zack Snyder's movie?
Cyborg, Flash, and Superman.
Yes. Aquaman, though, gets a lot more in his movie than he did in Joss Whedon's.
Aquaman had his own movie.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying, like, in the Justice League movie, take his movie out of it. He has more to do in that movie. If you look at the Whedon's movie, which three characters get the most screen time?
Whedon's Aquaman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Captain the Flash still though?
Superman gets a lot of screen time in both. He comes back so early in the Whedon movie. My point is this. We didn't know Aquaman, Flash, and Cyborg. Zack Snyder's movie was all about the Flash and Cyborg. They were the two most important characters in this movie. Hands down, the most important characters.
Literally, the world literally would have ended if it wasn't for those two.
You look at the Whedon movie, and that screams to me. You look at Snyder's movie, and you look at Whedon's movie, and that just screams to me, the studio going, why are we paying attention to these people nobody knows? Put Batman and Wonder Woman more in the front. That's a studio note. That's not something Whedon did. That is a studio note.
I can agree with that.
They cut out Cyborg and Flash's stories and gave Batman and Wonder Woman more stuff to do. That's a studio note because people know those characters. I think Zack Snyder fans are the most toxic people on the internet. They are insane.
Have you met the Homestuck community?
The what?
The Homestuck community.
I don't know what that is.
Good. Do not. Do not meet them. Because there's the levels Snyder Toxic fans are here. Homestuck community fans, can you see the movie?
What is that for?
Homestuck?
Yeah.
It was it's on the comic universe. But see where the moon is?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going about 10 times longer.
That's the level of
the Homestuck community's toxicity.
I've never even heard of these people.
Good. You are doing yourself a favor. Do not engage with that community. And I don't give a fuck if I get canceled for that. Your community is toxic as fuck, Homestuck.
So you don't agree with James Gunn being in charge of the DC Universe? I don't think Zack Snyder understood these characters. His Superman was so fucking depressing.
He did just come back. Plus, you still got to think about how he...
No. Man of Steel's Superman was so fucking depressing.
How would you feel if you literally got thrown into a different world, you finally meet people from your own race, and then you're forced to murder them?
Oh, Christopher Reeve's Superman wasn't that depressing. He was hopeful, and he had the same situation.
But he didn't have to murder them. He just had to trip back and fend
himself. But he did. He killed him. He killed Zod. Go rewatch Superman 2. He killed Zod. Zod dies in every movie. But that Superman was about hope. This Superman was emo. The only good Zack Snyder DC movie is Watchmen.
I honestly forgot about that movie. 2009 was a hell of a time, though.
Still a good movie. My favorite Zack Snyder movie, though, Sucker Punch. That movie's genius. I love that movie. I don't care what anyone... I don't know what likes it. I love that movie.
Hold up. We got to address this real
quick. I fucking love that movie.
Sucker Punch.
Movie is so... It's Alice in Wonderland.
No.
On drugs.
Hold up.
And Alice in Wonderland is already on drugs.
Who hurt you? Honestly, who hurt you that bad?
Like Sucker Punch?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love it. But at the same time, that is literally like the number one trauma associated movie. Who hurt you, man? What did they do to you to make you... What did they do?
I don't know, but I love that movie.
It's literally escapism at its finest. Just
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my... Once you start unpacking that trauma, it's just... Oh, my God.
The movie makes me feel good. It's a good movie.
How much trauma do you have to unpack? Damn.
It's so ridiculous that it's fun.
Escapism does do that to a body.
It does. But I don't like his DC movies. And I'm sorry. I've had this argument with Diego. The Martha scene in Batman v Superman was stupid. I understand what he was going for, and if he had done it right, it would have been brilliant. Ben Affleck could have nailed that if he was directing. Zack Snyder dropped the ball. That scene was stupid. You don't feel the emotion there. On the page, I'm sure it was brilliant. On screen, it did not land.
I mean, getting those two connect over mom thing is one of the things that it will always look good on paper. But then it's one
and,
of the things.
And I'll admit that. On paper, it's genius. That's on paper, that is how you do it. I just don't think he nailed it.
It's like trying to hit the homer shot. Sometimes some people not only there's only
the
like
whole
so
movie
people,
hinges on that.
So only so many people can make that shot happen. It's just you can try, you think you can get as far, but you miss all the shots you don't take, and no one else attempted the shot.
That's the whole crux of the movie, and he dropped the ball on that scene. Everything falls apart because that scene did not land. In the whole Snyderverse of movies, that's the most important scene, and he did not land.
Not exactly.
What's more important than that scene?
Bruce Wayne meeting Wonder Woman. That is honestly, if that never happened, none of this other stuff would happen.
So do you disagree with James Gunn rebooting everything? Do you think they should continue with the Snyderverse?
Yes, honestly.
The Snyderverse is so convoluted, dude. It's like the X-Men movies. It's just bad.
You underestimate how Crisis on Infinite Earths can fix everything, still.
I don't think the Flash movie should exist. I think that movie... Warner Brothers is canceling everything, but they won't cancel this goddamn Flash movie.
You can't cancel the reset button. The reset button is mandatory. No exceptions.
Ezra Miller should never be seen on screen again. The dude is... Or they are a monster.
Have you ever been to Vermont? No, have you ever I'm been not. To Vermont?
What does Vermont have to do with anything?
Have you ever heard any good things about Vermont?
No, I can't say that I have.
Exactly! There's a reason we do not go there. That is the forbidden land.
Is that where Ezra Miller's from? Okay, because I was like, what does this have to do with Ezra Miller?
That is literally like, oh, you're from Vermont. You're from the Shadow Realm. Who hurt you? Okay, we gotta like be... You gotta like just keep treating on the eggshells because... Literally up there, it is an entirely different beast compared to the way of life we know down here.
I don't know. I just That movie should not exist.
Oh, damn. We really did want Fantasia on that shit.
Do what?
Back to 2022 movies. Because, like...
We went on a whole Snyder thing.
Yeah. That rabbit hole was just so easy to fall down, too.
But I think James Gunn's making the right choice. I think a fresh start is the way to go. Don't get me wrong. Henry Cavill, I think, is a great Superman. I don't think the problems I have with those movies are him. It's the writing. It's Snyder. Snyder's the problem. In my opinion. I know people are going to hate me for that because they're fucking cultists. But I think Snyder's the problem. I think Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot, all great casting choices. Ray Fisher, I think he's a good cyborg, but Doom Patrol did it so much better. The Doom Patrol cyborg, that dude nails that role. Have you seen Doom Patrol?
I have, but comparing cyborgs... Honestly, for live action...
You like Ray Fisher's cyborg better than Doom Patrol cyborg? I can't think of the guy's name who plays him on Doom Patrol.
Jovian Wade.
Okay.
But the suit looks so much better on Snyder Cyborg than it does.
Yeah,
on Doom
because
Cyborg.
Oh, hold on, that's unfair. That's not acting. That is the budget of the movie versus the budget of a show that was originally made for the DC comic book app. That's not fair. You can't compare how the suit looks. I'm talking just the acting. Because you can't judge it on the budget.
But the other thing you still gotta think about is, what's the most iconic cyborg line? Booyah!
And Doom Patrol guy says that.
It ain't got enough bass. It ain't got enough bass.
Well, okay, I think we can all admit the original Teen Titans cartoon is...
That is the standard. That, no debating. That is the standard of cyborg. If you can't nail it like that...
Ray Fisher wouldn't even say the line.
His voice alone already gives him the authority to say the line, though.
But he refused.
Repeat after me. The voice alone gives him the authority.
You don't like the Doom Patrol cyborg.
Character-wise, cool. Voice-wise...
You want more bass to his voice.
He still sounds like a little prepubescent bitch.
Oh, shit.
Don't get me wrong. Still love the character, but... Oh. Dog.
I love him. I think he's, like, one of the best, like, actors on a DC show. Like, dude, I feel more emotionally connected to his character than I do any of the others. And Brendan Fraser's playing Robot Man. I'm predisposed to love Robot Man the most. And yet I like Cyborg.
I know. It's still just... The voice alone is just... It just sounds so weird. Even going through all the other DC animated
things. You're not even shitting on him as an actor. You're now shitting on him as a man.
Hey, man.
So you admit, it's well written and it's well acted, but your problem is that he's not masculine enough for you.
Yes. Okay. That is honestly the problem.
So you're just shitting on him as a human being.
Like,
okay.
I know we got a trade off. I know there's some trade-offs you gotta take, but that's just...
I'm glad that we got to the base of it. It's not his acting and it's not the character. It's the man who plays him.
It's not even the problem with the...
No, you're...
You can control your voice a little bit. Like, just, he just needs, like, one octave lower.
He's my favorite character on that show. He is. I mean, I love Robot Man. I love, what's Negative Man's real name?
Larry.
Larry. I love Larry. I love Rita. I love Crazy Jane. It's a toss-up between him and Crazy Jane. It's my favorite characters on that show, though. Who do you like more?
Madame Rouge.
Oh, no. I like Robot Man and Larry better than I like her.
Hands down, I'm always taking Scottish Mommy over any of them any day of the week.
Over Crazy Jane?
Yes.
Oh, no. Cyborg and Crazy Jane are the two best characters on this show, followed very closely by Robot Man and Larry.
Cyborg's definitely in the top
five. Rita's good, too, but Rita is definitely out of...
Rita still got to pull her head out of her ass, and yeah. Which she can literally do, but she doesn't. She can literally pull her head out of her ass multiple times, but she still doesn't.
I think the Snyderverse needs to go. I think James Gunn's making the right choice.
I just feel like the main reason I don't want to let it go is because I've invested too much in it, and I've actually gotten characters I've been waiting to see on live action.
One of the first movies they're doing is Blue Beetle. That's a deep cut, man. And James Gunn made his teeth on comic book movie deep cuts. Guardians of the Galaxy, nobody gave a fuck about them. Now look at them.
But the Shazam multiverse is amazing, and now we're actually getting expanded with Black Adam.
That is the one thing I am sad to see go. Is Shazam.
And it actually introduces Khandaq, which has a whole lot more backstory. Yeah. And it has so much more things it could offer, too.
Yeah, I think Shazam, too.
And it gave us Intergang. Do you know how many doors alone Intergang alone opens?
All right, I am sorry to see the Shazam-verse go. Black Adam deserves a sequel. And I want to see a third Shazam. I haven't even seen Shazam 2 yet, and I already know I want to see a third one.
Exactly! There's so much stuff it but sets up.
I'm good with rebooting everything else. Except I do want a season 2 of Peacemaker. Which James Gunn is in charge and his fiance's in it. So we'll probably definitely get that. Because Peacemaker was great.
Plus, if we keep the Black Adam thing, that means eventually we're going to get John Cena versus The Rock again. In DC version.
Well, what is he keeping? We're getting Shazam 2, we're getting The Flash, and we're getting Aquaman 2. I think that's the end of the Snyder movies, right? Because Wonder Woman 3 got canceled.
Honestly, we really didn't need Wonder Woman 2.
Wonder Woman 2. If you gender swapped those roles, that movie would have been canceled.
Yeah.
It would have. And it probably would have deserved to be canceled. That was a really fucked up thing to do.
Look, don't get me wrong, Wonder Woman's still amazing, but
not the character, that was a choice in the writing and directing of that movie that was very flawed.
I mean, it was nice to just have it connecting, though.
Yeah. We're living in an era of like the Me Too movement and consent, and Wonder Woman essentially just had sex with this dude who wasn't even there. It's weird. That's a weird decision to make. In this era of filmmaking, in the 90s, no one would have cared. But in this era, it just seems like a weird choice.
I don't think we have the right parts to make that decision for a whole bunch of other people, but
we can make the choice that the guy who she had sex with should have been able to say yes or no.
Oh, 1,000% yes.
He wasn't given consent. He was used. I have a problem. Like, that's weird. This should not have, like, that's a weird choice to make, creatively.
When you're fighting your own demons, sometimes it be like that.
So we're getting Batman 2. That's happening. Matt Reeves is getting his second movie. And he might even get a third movie.
Hold on, so we just done with all the 2022 things, or we just like,
this part? Well, I guess we're just talking about the DC stuff. What James Gunn is doing. But if you want to go back to 2022, we can do that.
Favorite animated movie from 2022?
I don't know if I saw any animated movies in 2022.
It's a cricket. Crickets. Yeah. The cricket knows.
Not eating.
Damn, there are so many things you could have seen.
What animated movies came out last year?
You had Bad Guys, which, hands down, I was appalled with that one. I was expecting shit. It was amazing.
Was it?
Shit, just seeing all the people act together. I'm not gonna lie, but Craig Robinson really did good as a giant shark guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen any for last year. So that's your pick, Bad Guys?
No, I'm just naming things off. Because you had Bad Guy, you had Turning Red, you had Strange World, you had Lightyear was a thing.
Oh, okay, I saw Lightyear.
The Minions movie. Super Pets, Sea Beast, Hotel Transylvania, Transformania.
I think Lightyear is the only thing I saw, so I guess that wins by default.
Oh yeah, we also have Positive Fury.
Oh, I saw Chip and Dale's. Would that count?
That does count.
I'll pick Chip and Dale's. I like that. That was really good.
Sonic Adventure 2 does count.
Okay, well then I'll pick Sonic.
Bob's Burgers movie. But hands down.
I still need to see the stop motion Pinocchio.
But hands down, even though Sonic Adventure 2 or Sonic the Hedgehog 2 was my top movie 2012 or 2022.
Yeah.
Best animated movie 2022. Intergalactic.
I haven't seen that.
You gotta see it.
Intergalactic?
Intergalactic.
Enter or enter?
Enter. Like, go through the door, enter.
Oh, okay.
It's Kid Cudi's first animated film. It's just the soundtrack alone, storytelling.
Kid Cudi? Oh, shit. Okay, well, I'll watch that then.
I guarantee it's just, yes.
Okay, I'll definitely check that out.
What other kind of movies did we actually watch last year?
I don't know. I think we talked about almost all of them.
So we did horror, we did actions, we did animated. Did we do comedy?
No, well, we didn't even do horror. Best horror movie, I think, was X or Pearl. Probably Pearl. The ending of Pearl is one of the best endings of a movie I've ever seen.
Okay, I'm not going to lie, even though I've given a shit ton of spoilers this one episode, do not spoil that
for me. I won't spoil that. But you need to watch those. Watch X first and then watch Pearl.
I can do that.
X has a scene in it that even Ashley was disturbed by.
I'm sorry, what?
Me and Ashley watched X together.
Madam President.
And she was disturbed by a scene in X.
The Queen Bee of the Queen Bee Brudoof herself.
The woman who looked up most disturbing movies ever and then watches them before bed was disturbed by a scene in X. More disgusted than disturbed, but
okay. That kind of settles it. I gotta go see that now. Alright, so according to Google, comedies we got is White Noise, Violent Night, Triangle Sadness, Ticket to Paradise, The Menu, Banshees of Inisherin, Matilda, Puss in Boots, Amsterdam, Glass Onion, Strange World, See How They Run, Lyle Lyle Crocodile, Pinocchio, Bardo, Phone Booth, The Estate, Slumberland, Thank God, Spoiler Alert, and yeah, everything else is just other world, or no, a whole bunch of Bollywood movies, which also look good.
That's a hard one. So what would yours be?
For comedy?
Yeah.
Ticket to Paradise.
Ticket to Paradise was pretty good. I did enjoy that.
But the one I was still the most curious about, but I'm probably not going to go back and watch, is Strange World.
That's the cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't hear good things about it.
It looked like it could be good, but I'm also just like, it doesn't pull. It attracts, but it doesn't, or like, it gets you to the door, but it doesn't like bring you in the door, you know?
Bodies, bodies, bodies. Oh my God, did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, you're not missing anything.
But 2022 was a good year for movies.
Day Shift was pretty good. I forgot that came out last. That's a streaming movie.
Oh, The Man from Toronto was a thing too.
Okay.
League of Super- no,
Studio 666. That movie made me laugh.
I think I started that one.
That's the Foo Fighters playing themselves in a horror movie.
Oh, that was fucking amazing.
John Carpenter was in that.
God bless that movie. Like, God bless that entire movie. And now we wrap up with series.
TV show. Best TV show of 2022. New show, or could it be returning, or shows that we discovered in 2022? What is the qualification? Does it have to come out, or do we have to watch it?
It could be when I ended this year, or ended last year, or just started last year.
Okay. You go first. I have to think about this.
Shit. Damn, I still gotta think about that.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but Cabinet of Curiosities was great. On Netflix? Guillermo del Toro's TV show. It was like an anthology series. Every episode was by a different director. That was pretty good. Moon Knight was great. Was that this year or was that last year?
I want to say 21 for some reason.
Oh, okay.
She-Hulk was good.
She-Hulk was good. Sandman was brilliant. Did you watch Sandman?
No.
You gotta watch Sandman. Wednesday was great. Tulsa King was genius.
Okay, so looks like we had Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk.
Oh, Peacemaker came out this year, too.
That was it? Wait, that was 22?
That's what it says on here.
It doesn't feel like it was 22.
No.
Were we really still in that far in pandemic?
Yeah, we were.
I know there's, I think there was one of these. Wait. Oh, no, Legends finished in 21.
Yeah.
But damn. I still want more of that.
I still haven't seen the last season of Legends. I need to finish that.
Do it. You owe it to the series. But there are so many good ones.
I'm gonna go with Tulsa King. I'm really enjoying it. No, I'm gonna go with Sandman. Sandman's my pick.
Peacemaker.
Oh, Peacemaker's good. Okay. You do Peacemaker, I'll do Sandman. It's a good pick.
To 2022, we owe you a few.
All right. So I'm Jonathan.
I'm Daddy D.
Give us Legends.